And welcome to Community Kitchen. What a big week we had last week. The whole Shire and the region around seems to be in total destruction, lots of trees down. So close to Christmas, I guess we're all feeling that little bit of nervousness. But looks like everything's back on track. We're now the 2nd of December, pinch and a punch for yesterday. And, of course, it's Christmas. We're going to start talking about Christmas. I want to share a couple of things that I love when you can sort of pick things up seasonally. Have you noticed all those green mangoes hanging on the tree? And there's lots of other, like, you don't have to have the perfect mango to make a really good mango chutney. We're going to be talking about ham a little bit later. And what a great side. This is a chutney that I absolutely love. And I found this in the Cook's Companion with Stephanie Alexander, a book that's really got a big bashing around from me because very resourceful book. If there was one book that you'd want in the world, it'd have to be this because it has such a good covering of not only her recipes, but recipes that she's found very successful. And this is a mango chutney from a book called A Taste of the Tropics. So you use about 1.5 kilos of green mangoes peeled and sliced. I have used fresh mango and it's the same, just a little bit wetter. So just cook a little bit longer. And with the green mango, you toss with salt in a non-reactive saucepan and leave for a few hours. Then transfer to a colander and drain. If you're doing the fresh, you don't have to do that. Use about a quarter of a cup of salt. But you put the drained mango into a non-reactive stock pot with all the remaining ingredients. 250 grams of tamarind pulp gives the most amazing flavour. 700 grams of brown sugar. 2 cups of white wine vinegar. About 100 grams of seeded raisins or sultanas, 100 grams of freshly chopped ginger, 6 dried red chilies, and a tablespoon of whole allspice. Now you're just going to bring that to a boil and stirring from time to time just to prevent the mixture sticking, and reduce to a simmer and cook for about 40 minutes. It's just so delicious. It really is nice with a slab of cheese on a bit of bread. It's lovely with your ham. I find it's good as a side when you've made a really good curry. But just that tamarind flavour really does enhance it to another level. And while I'm thinking of mangoes, I mean, there's so many good things you can do with them. Great mango salsa, 1 mango, 2 slices of red onion or shallots, and really chop that fine. Fresh red chili, some fresh mint leaves, some fresh lime juice, and some sugar. Beautiful alongside prawns or fish. And, you know, in abundance at the moment. And some of them are just dropping to the ground. Some of those old farming areas you'll see along the roads, there's so many mangoes just dropping away. And, of course, if you want to make a really lovely fresh sambal, you just mix finely diced green mango, freshly grated coconut, finely chopped coriander, fresh ginger, a little bit of salt and some chili paste. Or sambal oelek, and allow to stand for an hour and then serve that with your barbecue fish or your prawns. But just these simple things just really lift and enhance such a simple little dish, something that's like a barbecued prawn, to another level. So good to think about that. I know there's some fantastic salads out there. Sunday I had an abundance of passion fruit and I made a really, really easy passion fruit butter, which of course you can have it on toast and enjoy, or curd, whatever you want to call it. But also good if you want to do that as your topping for your trifle, if you're taking that passion fruit level, when you want to put it on a sponge cake, fill it into little shells. So you're sort of, you know, getting one bird with lots of bird with one stone, the old saying. And the recipe for that is really, really simple. A cup of sugar and about 60 grams of butter. You're going to reduce that in a saucepan. Just let it sort of melt so the sugar's actually dissolved and the butter's melted. I was stirring it, but mine sort of fluffed up to just that point where before it turns to candy, but that's quite all right. And then you add the pulp from, take it off the heat, sorry. Add the pulp from 6 passion fruits And you've got two eggs, egg white and the yolk, and really give that a good blend. You don't want to see any white or yolk separated. You want that fully done. Then you're going to put that egg into the passion fruit pulp and butter and sugar, and then put it back on the stove over a low heat and just keep stirring that, and it will thicken beautifully. Of course, in the meantime, for the mango chutney and for the passion fruit pulp, curd or butter, you've sterilized your jars. And I had them all ready I had a good size funnel. I just poured everything in there and it set beautifully, delicious, very cheap. All the passion fruit vines are in abundance at the moment. And of course, thinking of that, it's a good time to look around if you're going to talk about doing maybe a really nice layered ice cream terrine for your dessert, and a trifle, which we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show. We're starting to create that menu, which over the next couple of weeks we'll be doing that, just to give you a little bit of inspiration, take the sweat off, make it a bit easier at the same time, produce something that's absolutely delicious, and do yourself a favour, make your own salads and make your own potato salad. I know it's quick and easy, but it doesn't take much and it tastes so much better. So when we come back, let's talk about the ham and how we're going to treat that this year. You're with Annette on Community Kitchen on 101.5 FM. And welcome back to Community Kitchen. We're talking Christmas. It's just around the corner. A glazed ham, you know, it's beautiful. The one thing I always worry about is you just lose some of that fantastic gel, I think, in the meat, but it is really delicious. And according to one of the freebies, I love to catch these little free magazines in the supermarkets, remove the rind. Be careful with that because you want to keep that in the fact that you want to be able to place that back on the ham later so that you've got that really nice juice kept in there. But if you place the ham on a wire rack and pour boiling water into the pan, don't let the water touch the ham, and you wrap the shank of ham in the foil to stop it from burning, and then you brush your ham with the glaze, making sure you spread it evenly, and you cook it about 180 and baste it every 20 minutes or so with more glaze for an hour until the ham is heated throughout. It's just delicious. It looks nice. You can do some beautiful different glazes. I remember when we were a kid, the mum used to always use a marmalade, and that, of course, had the sugar, had the bit of orange. But I know that a lot of people mix up all different types. So, you know, you can do it with the mustard and the honeys or maple syrups, a little bit of sugar in there, and you just want that to be able to have a real shine. But there's lots of different combinations, and I think it just makes a really nice difference to it. I always make sure I've got the old ham bag ready, because keeping that ham fresh, once if you've bought a half a leg or a leg, is so important. I usually wash the bag and just soak it in a little bit of white vinegar and put the ham back in there. That's why it's good to keep that skin, because you put the skin over the top and it really does keep that moisture in there. Always great. Very rarely do you ever have a problem with leftover ham, knowing not what to do with it in our house, because it is one of those pleasures to have ham off the bone on Christmas. It's about the only time I ever do it, and it's always something to hang on to. There's some really great sides you can do also. I know that we've, you know, you can do your potato salads, but how nice is it to have the Hasselback potatoes, where you can do them with the sweet potato, whole potatoes, you've cut them the night before, you've got them in the fridge, all ready to go. Now, you can either cook them in a cream with some chicken stock and pepper and salt and some thyme or goodies, or even just have them roasted. If you want, it's nice if you can actually stuff them with a little bit of ham or bacon in between the big cuts. You can put Parmesan cheese on there, and you can brush them off with some oil or some really lovely garlic butters or parsley butters, and bake them off so they become crisp and delicious. But having those nice sides without too much trouble, if you just have to pop it in the oven, it's not a big deal on Christmas Day. Of course, a potato salad is fantastic. And I think also just picking a couple of salads where you've got something that little bit different. I love it when you have guests and they say, I'll bring a salad, and it's something just that little bit different that you're not going to spend the time on. So if you're sharing that at a family table, always good to disperse some of the work out, and you end up with a nice feast, which I think is part of the pleasure of Christmas Day. So let's talk about some of the other little goodies that you can have in there. For your sweets, we're going to talk a trifle. And I really love to do the zucchetta, which is a really nice sponge cake with some great ice cream and chocolates and hazelnuts and goodies like that. And, of course, thinking about what sauces you can have. Nice to have the caramel sauce. Pick a theme for your trifle. Try and pick out the flavours that you're looking for. I know that last year there was a lot of that sort of really nice caramel and bananas and goodies like that. And I notice that every year there's a little bit of a trend for different. So pick your own. Beautiful to do cherries, and you can do a nice trifle with that using some Turkish delights, some good raspberries in there, or you can go the chocolate theme. I really do like to have a nice traditional trifle if I'm going to have one. I love it with the jellies, I love it with the fruits, and a really good custard. So when we come back, let's talk about a few simple cakes you can make to get some really great desserts onto the family table for Christmas. You're with Annette on Community Kitchen. Welcome back to Community Kitchen. Of course, it's Christmas and we're getting cooking. Talking about trifles, you know, you can go all out and make your own jellies. I know there's a lot of people out there with allergies and, you know, lots of different food intolerances. Very, very easy to make your own jelly. So 10 grams of gelatin or one sachet of gel it in to about 500 ml of juice. You can layer your jellies up. You can use all different fruits, grape juice set with purple grape. Milk jelly adds a wonderful flavour, red currant juice with whole berries, apple juice with green grapes, really fantastic. And of course, these are things that you can use for your trifles. Usually a trifle, you're using a sponge cake. Doesn't take much to make it a good sponge cake. Make it in a tray so that you've got a little bit left over. Double it up because I think it makes a good thing to pop in the freezer. A good jam, some fantastic egg custard, some whipped cream, and you might want to add some fresh fruit, some cherries, peaches, strawberries, raspberries, some really lovely toasted coconut or slivered almonds. Just really lays it up and just gives it that little bit of texture and lovely flavour. I really do like those toasted almond slithers. I think they're fantastic. And of course, you've got all your local fruits around here. We've got pineapples, we've got berries, we've got bananas. As I said before, mangoes. You can go really tropical. And I think that it's a real nice treat to have that done. You can do individual trifles where you actually set it up so each person has their own. Good thing for the kids to get involved with too, because they're good at, very creative, I find, children with food. They really have a different eye to what adults do. And they're usually generous with the chopped up chocolate and all the goodies that go with it, and with the tasting, of course. A zucchetta that I like is a sponge cake, about a third of a cup of roasted almonds, coarsely chopped, and about a third of a cup of roasted hazelnuts, coarsely chopped, about 90 grams of cooking chocolate. You melt about 60 grams and you coarsely chop about 30. A third cups of cream and about a quarter of a cup of icing sugar. And what you do is you line a pudding bowl or a Dolly Varden tin if you happen to have one, which has got that little bit of a more upward shape. You cut the sponge into wedges and line the tin. Good to actually line the tin with some Glad wrap so when you turn it out it doesn't stick. And keep some aside because you want to actually be able to seal in all the goodies and make a little lid on the top. And you melt about two-thirds of the chocolate in a bowl and set aside. Whip the cream with the icing sugar and then fold through the nuts and divide the mixture, the whipped cream, between two bowls and fold the melted chocolate into one. just digress one moment. We're whipping the chocolate. We're dividing it in half. We're going to do the nuts in one side and we're going to do the melted chocolate in the other. And then the start to stack that inside the actual cake. So you place the white mix into the cake lined tin, covering all the cake, and then the remaining chocolate mix on top. So you've actually lined the inside of that dish with the cream that has just got the actual nuts inside it. Then in the center, you're going to put the cream that has the chocolate, because when you slice it, you want everyone to get a piece of the both. And then just the remaining chocolate mix on top, seal with the remaining cake, chill overnight. And then when you turn it out, and of course you take the wrap off, you're cutting that into a nice big slice. Now you can use a casserole dish for this or a deep salad bowl or something, but you want to get that bit of a dome shape. So when you cut it through, you've got the sponge, you've got the two different cream mixes. And absolutely delicious. You can also put in there glazed fruit if you want. You can add whatever you like. But trust me, it is a very beautiful, delicious cake. And it can be done a little bit before. So you can actually have that sitting in there. Because if it's really nicely chilled, it will just sit well within the dish. And waiting for you just to serve it out. So I hope I've inspired you to actually have a little think about what you want to do for Christmas. Of course, you could make an ice cream Christmas cake. You can make ice cream terrines. And they're so easy and so delicious. And something that you can do now and place in the freezer. And of course, if you look around the supermarket, there's lots of little specials on at the moment. So some of those more expensive things like your fruits and your almonds and the nuts are actually on sale. Grab them up now because good time to do it. And then it only leaves you with the fresh produce to buy at the end of the period before the Christmas day. We'll be back next week and we're always going to be talking about food on Community Kitchen. Have a great week and let's hope we all stay safe and away from this storm season. You've been speaking with Annette.